Podshow is pleased to bring you the following killer content direct from the all-new feature-rich podshow.com. Get it, play it, dig it.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow. LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
This is Windy City Queercast, show number 62. I am Amy Matheny.
And I am Peter Maverick.
Wow, Peter, we just recorded that intro four times.
How are you doing?
The power of the Windy City Queercast.
Oh, the edit button.
You know what it is? It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is.
And I don't know why I don't know that it is when I keep hearing it blaring at me.
It is. It's so delightful.
I'm in a little Christmas bah humbugginess right now.
Oh, why?
Yeah. I'm just feeling like one of the other holidays is probably where I should have been aligned, like Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or possibly Solstice, which is today. So
yes.
I gotta, well, it's not today, but it's this week.
You know. It's coming the season.
Up. I love the solstice.
I do. I always...
Because I have a lot of witches in my life.
Really?
Yeah. So happy solstice to
happy
all the
solstice.
Pagans and witches in my life.
I just like the turn of the seasons. I'm always a freak for the equinoxes and the turn of the seasons and all that stuff. I've always felt really connected with that. And I think it's weird because in the United States, we're kind of disconnected from a lot of that. We don't really follow the land. I mean, there's tomatoes in the store all the time.
Yes.
There's carrots and
there are
all kinds of weird things. So we definitely don't eat with the seasons very much in this country, but, but it's just, I've always enjoyed it. And I think all the lore and the mythology of everything, you know, yeah, that's great. The baby Jesus was born, but there's also so much more to it. And I think sort of studying that and, you know, hopping around and do you know what my new favorite thing is?
What?
Wikipedia. Have you ever been on the Wikipedia site?
You know what? It's interesting when I Google people and they're like, they're Wikipedia. And I'm like, what the hell is a Wikipedia?
It's
an encyclopedia something or other.
It's an encyclopedia
database.
Online that anybody can access.
Wow.
And that anybody can edit. So the
Am I in Wikipedia?
No, we're not there. I tried to put us there, but they blocked us because it said it was a vanity article. So I'm going to try again as my alter ego or something.
Article. Okay.
I think we're making fucking history with this show personally.
We are making history with this show.
So if anyone out there is listening to us, can you put us in Wikipedia, please?
Who else is talking to some sort of gay solstice pagan person on their show
for
the solstice?
You know.
I think that's great.
And we're changing lives.
We are changing lives.
Digital bit by digital bit. That's what
I'm saying.
Digital
bit. Hey, I have to tell you, I have souped up the new HD TiVo. And folks, I'll be giving you a report. Early Christmas present to me. You know, and it's interesting because in our office, Terry and some of them were like, what do you mean you're not watching? Why do you mean you're not watching HD and you have an HD television? And I'm like, well, I've always had TiVo and TiVo is not compatible with my HD. Well, folks, I did all the research, talk about going through. This is also probably how I sell the Wikipedia because I have been bleary-eyed from researching
fingers
Comcast,
numb.
Yeah, from doing the Comcast high definition DVR, which I know many people who have and are happy with it, that was option one. Mm-hmm. And option two was to just bite the bullet. For the first time, they're letting you transfer your lifetime membership only through the end of the year if you've always been a TiVo person, which I have been. And I did all this research, and I have to tell you, I kind of just scored one for me out of what I know about myself, which is that I don't like to relearn things that work, that I like how they work.
Right.
And everybody said, if you'd never known TiVo, the Comcast HD DVR, fantastic. So I know this might be a thought of yours because you're thinking about the Comcast. Yeah. But for those people who have had TiVo, every one of them was just horribly frustrated. Just really thought the interfacing, the software was not good.
Not as good as TiVo.
That Comcast was not as good. And basically somebody summed it up this way
to me. The Comcast DVR thing.
Correct. Yeah. Somebody summed it up this way to me. And one person said, you know, that TiVo is the Mac, is the Apple of the computer world, whereas the Comcast is more PC, but they said it's not even the new PC with all the good Microsoft works, you know, and stuff that the Mac people probably use to facilitate their interface. So I will... Soon reviews will be out as soon as the new episodes of all the fancy TV shows come in the new year. I will be able to tell
and you.
You
will know.
It's not working yet. It will be working in 2 days when cable comes.
When the man
they have to
comes
give me these
bring.
Little cable cards and put those in there. But it's fancy looking.
So did you open it and did that styrofoam metal
so
smell
tingly.
And all that good
it's
stuff?
So tingly. I want to go home and have sex after this with my TiVo. I love TiVo that much. Really? I even joined a little TiVo community. There's a thing called TiVoCommunity.com, and that's where that's where I got all the discounts though, folks. If you're buying the TiVo and you're hearing
good
this or
know.
You've been thinking about it, go to TiVoCommunity.com. I gave them a free plug because they gave me a big bunch of money off of it. So
we like that.
Yeah.
This time of year, too,
it's a bullet, Peter.
The technological bullet.
I never buy technology.
This is new for the
ever.
Amy Matheny.
I know. It's frightening.
And you did it all on yourself. I love that.
I did it all because I wanted it to be easy. And I decided, what am I buying? I'm buying ease. So
ease. Well, you know.
I bought the one that was easy and then I understand.
You can buy ease for the right price anywhere.
I can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ease on down the road. So this time of year, for me, it's always... this is weird thing about Christmas time and the holidays. It's always smells. Smells always... tip me off. It's the nostalgia of the
baking,
smell.
Baking,
totally.
Trees.
Everything.
Snow. You can smell snow. We've had the snow. It's warmer, getting warmer than cooler. It's not like it was a couple weeks ago.
Just the smell of the city. I was down with my friend Ken at the Crystal Kinnochen Market, whatever it is, that thing down there. And it just smelled like Christmas because you could smell the big giant tree that's there because you know they have the huge tree.
Yeah.
And then there was like these cinnamony things. They were roasting nuts and toasting things. And then we had a glass of the spiced wine and it was just it all came together. It
and
was
the Garrett
so
popcorn
fragrant.
Is kind of going nuts if you pass the Garrett popcorn, you know.
Although I have to tell you, you are crazy if you stand in line for the Garrett because...
Can you order it online?
There are a million other caramel corn places and it tastes just as good. Garrett doesn't taste any better or any worse at them. And there's never a line. There's like one right around the corner from the coconuts. You should totally go to that one. I don't know the name of it, but if you know where the coconuts is, it's right around the corner. And there's never a line in there. And then the Garrett is like 17 people deep. And the thing I have to say about the Garrett's line is it's 17 fat people deep. So it looks like there's 30 people in there.
Well, isn't there one that's down like... what is it? It's
they're like Walgreens. There's one on every damn corner.
Is there a Garrett's on every damn corner?
Almost. Downtown Chicago. Absolutely.
Because there's one that's on the street that almost would, I don't know, just
there's
a
one
little
right on
north
State
of Art.
Jackson. Or
maybe it is State and Jackson. It's
and
on,
that's
is
the
it on
evil
Jackson?
One.
Is it on Jackson?
Yeah. Well, it's right at the corner. And that's the
that's
evil one.
That's not the one. There's one that's in the middle of the street and it's on an east-west street. I can't remember where it is. It's almost like Kids
it might
into
be
the
Monroe.
Art Institute.
Yeah,
the Monroe.
Yeah. And it's evil because they blow the goddamn caramel corn smell out at you.
I love some
popcorn. And it just
I
makes
love
me
some
hungry.
Popcorn. I don't it ever get it. I used to get tubs of it for Christmas, and I haven't gotten one in a long time.
We used to get those tins with like the cheese and the butter.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The little divided.
Corn,
yeah.
It was good. It was too good, actually. I would just eat the heck out of it.
I like
so
the caramel corn.
I fell into an infomercial. I bought something off the TV.
What was it? Joan Rivers selling on the QVC again? Did she sell you some Joan Rivers jewelry collection?
I have purchased some jewelry from the Joan.
I know. So is my father. And I like literally looked at him and my jaw dropped. And he gave me something. And I was like, Dad, this is Joan Rivers.
But was it nice? Do you wear it?
No, I don't wear it.
Oh, see, now I bought a nice brooch and a nice pendant for a lady that I grew up with. And she absolutely adored it.
Okay, there you
she
go.
Was, and she was
okay,
all,
what was
this
your...
is the Joan Rivers. Oh, yeah.
What was your info?
So, you know, I'm not a big guy, but I'm not a skinny guy. I'm just not a very toned guy, you know. So 2006 was sort of, it was me thinking about, wow, it would be nice to have like ripped abs and big arms and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I thought that would be interesting in 2006, but I never quite got there. I never quite dedicated myself to it. So in 2007, you know, now I'm thinking about making a New Year's resolution. I just want to be toned. I don't want to be muscly head. I don't want to be
huge biceps. Me too,
baby.
We should do this together.
So I was watching the TV.
Oh, dear.
And there was this DVD collection.
Oh, no.
And it's like they show you the little exercises and you do the little exercises. And the thing is, it's you got
to... Are you kickboxing? You're tai-boing?
No.
What are you doing?
It's all the above. It's all the above. You do it for 90 days. You're supposed to get up every day and do your little shit for 90 days. And let me tell you, now, for me to do something every day for 90 days, it has to look pretty fantastic. So I'm not going to mention the name of the product. I'm going to wait till it comes. And if I really like it, then I'll mention it and give them some free press here. But I bought the little exercise tapes off the TV. They have not come yet.
Yeah.
But... it just shows the power of the idiot box because I was staring at this thing for like 15 minutes and I was like, oh, I got to buy that. And I ran in here and I went online and I bought it. That's very dangerous to purchase online.
It's very dangerous. You
know, it happens very quick.
I remember a night not too many years ago and I sat there watching the flat garden hose trying to be sold. On like one of these QVCs or something, because I don't ever watch them. I don't stop on them because I just know me.
Right. Was it a Gunthy record, whatever they call that?
I don't even know what it was,
company?
But it was this flat, you can buy it now in Home Depot, but at the time it wasn't there. And it was this flat garden hose, which was like, and you know, they explain that this is like how the technology the firefighters use, how they can fold up their hose. Still think it's genius. I've never bought one to this day still, but, and they showed this damn thing and hell, I mean, I was like a crack addict leaning over like a little rock of crack. I mean, I was like, I so wanted to buy it. And it was so funny. I was like perspiring not to pick up the phone and buy it. So I get it. Like, I get it. I have to say, I've never dialed up and done it. I have never... If I drank more, it might happen a lot. I mean...
I'd be embarrassed to call on the phone. I don't know why. I would just be embarrassed because you always have to say something catchy to get like all the extra gizmos or something.
Oh, dear God.
So I don't think I could do that. But now you can just go online and buy it all online.
Yeah.
There used to be an As Seen on TV store.
Right.
In the Harlem Irving Plaza, I believe it was. It was affectionately called the Hip for anyone who lives on the northwest side of Chicago. But it was all the gizmos from the As Seen on TV, like the onion blossom maker,
there you go.
The butter cutter,
there you go.
All the
butter
things.
Cutter featured butter in Night Spots.
Right. Oh, no, not the one click butter slice.
Oh, not the one.
No, it was a different kind. It was a different kind.
That was my favorite holiday gift.
Really?
Idea. I thought that was really great.
I like the CD collection because, you know, the Ripley Kane was up there. And
oh,
the
no, I'm teasing, but those I would know to give. I would never know to give a butter cutter.
A butter cutter.
I just like saying it. Butter cutter.
But yeah, so I broke down and I bought that. So we'll see. In 2007, maybe this will be the year of Peter. You know, I'm turning 30 in a minute here, so.
Oh, in a minute. You are turning 30 in a minute.
In a minute. And
what is that date? Hold on. I have it written
down. In February.
It is in February.
It's in February.
I don't know if I've written it in my brand new calendar. I finally have got the 2007 calendar.
Oh, my God. This late
red
in the year?
Leather.
I have to have my next year's calendar by like October.
Oh, I got it a while ago, but I've kind of refused. Wait, where are you? February 8th?
No, 4.
4?
February 4th. It's going to be my 30th
birthday.
I am on a
Sunday. Praise the Lord for Peter Maverick.
We're going to be celebrating on Saturday into Sunday and make a joyful noise unto the Lord Saturday night.
I will be there because I only have a show at 6 o'clock. So.
Well, I don't even know what I'm doing yet. This is the dilemma. Everyone's like, it's 30. You got to do something big.
Oh, we got to do something big.
I'm like, because it's 30, I don't want to do something big. Honey, I'm over all that. My liver doesn't work the way it used to.
No, not like that kind of big. It's not about do something big. Blow out all the stops, get all drunk and go crazy. It's like truly creating an environment where you can have people that you just really love being around to be there. That's what I think it's about. That's what my 30th birthday was. My 30th birthday was in the woods by
to
a
the
river.
Woods, you have
it
to
was.
Go,
it
the way
so
you
was.
To
it was. I had a bunch of, I had 18 friends who flew in from all over the US into Tennessee and we hung out in this campground. It wasn't a campground. It was like a cabin, these 5 cabins. And we swam and we rode the river and we cooked out each night. And that's what we did. And it was this, and it was horrifically affordable, except for everybody's plane ticket, you know, in for the 3 days. It was a great cheap vacation for everybody.
Were there flush toilets?
Oh yeah,
okay,
honey. I had a jacuzzi in my cabin. I'm not talking like roughing it at
God.
All. No, we weren't roughing it at all. We had a pavilion. We played loud music. We danced and drank every night.
Hot.
Got in the river, which was right there, the Okoye River. naked. So it was fun. But I think it's more, and it was totally overwhelming. It's totally overwhelming to be surrounded by people that you love like that. But I planned it for a little while. So, I mean, you had to kind of plan that because I had people save the date. But I think it's just more about like picking an environment that feels really wonderful to you and homey and inviting people to come and celebrate the first 30 years of your life. I mean, I think it's just, you know, and I had my family there too. It wasn't just, I mean, it was people that I'd known from summer camp when I was 10 to people I knew now from Chicago to people, you know, it was just kind of like, who did I want to be around? And it was lovely. So I that's what I recommend. I recommend don't get blotto, like go and really be able to, because to me, it was as much about thanking those people of being in my life for 30 years as it was anything for me, you know? So
I don't know. Whatever it is, it's got to involve a lot of food, though, because you know me.
You're
and the
a foodie.
Food.
That's why I'm thinking
you know
like
the food. I think I could rent out.
I envision
out,
you like renting out like, I don't know.
Well, I could
Fogo
probably,
de Chao or some tapas place or some.
I think the Korean place might be good because
I
didn't.
But you can't see everybody.
Well, you can in the one. No, you can in the one if you go in the place where you have to take your shoes off. You can fit about like 30 people.
Is there a great
long.
Korean place? Not that one, but a bigger one that's more open.
No, generally Korean dining is usually more an intimate space. Real Korean.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that place on Clark that calls itself a Korean restaurant, which shall remain nameless.
Oh, well, what about, well, it's not even, you know, I mean, really great places like that or great sushi places or places that food is very communal.
Absolutely. I think it's important. I mean,
there's a great upstairs level. Well, we'll talk about this off the air.
I have
an idea or
oh,
two.
Yay.
I think you should have like your own room and it should be
able
to
place
hold,
ain't open no more, girly.
So you should be able to hold it open a place, you know, for a good, you know, 20 to 30 people.
Yeah, I don't know. I know it's going to be expensive, and I'm going to pay for it all because I love it. And to say, just like you said, thank you to everybody. But,
oh well, you don't have to do that. People
no,
always
I do need to
can
do that.
Can throw in.
No, I do need to do that.
So we should tell you that it is solstice
it
this
is.
Week. Before we celebrate, well, we celebrate Hanukkah and we celebrate solstice before we celebrate Christmas this year, and we are very excited because I really wanted to talk to somebody who was a gay pagan, and Peter and I were talking about it. He was like, oh, that's a great idea. And, you know, so we found this group of men called the Brotherhood of the Phoenix, and the Reverend Alan Wood, who is one of their, ministers of their founded the Brotherhood of the Phoenix is on with us today, not only talking about paganism and the misconceptions and what does it mean if you're gay and a pagan, how does that look different, and just what the solstice time means, this time of year, which I think some of the things that you said, Peter, about the way the smells and the earth, you know,
the cycle
he really
earth,
talks
you know,
about
really.
That, which is really kind of great. And then there's just going to be so much more. You know, we're going to have our news and updates and Logan and we're heading on down to the last shows of the year. So we're trying to make them exciting and fun.
Getting close. And we'll be right back.
Just one look and I can hear a bell ring. One more look and I forget everything. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Mamma mia, here I go again. My, how can I resist ya? Mamma mia, does it show again? My, just how much I missed ya.
Mamma mia, here we go again. The show you can't resist is coming back. Mamma Mia, the guaranteed get-happy hit about a mother, a daughter, three possible dads, and a trip down the aisle you'll never forget.
My, I should not have let you go.
Packed with ABBA's greatest hits, it's got audiences dancing in the aisles all around the world. Now it's your turn to have the time of your life one more time.
Now playing through December 31st at the Cadillac Palace Theater. For tickets, call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Making your travel plans for fall? Thinking about that Christmas visit to mom's house in your old bedroom? Let the experts at GayHotelDiscounts.com find the luxury you're looking for at a price you can afford. If you need a queen in Phoenix or a king in Miami, GayHotelDiscounts.com can find the perfect room for you and your partner. Visit our website for gay destination cities and extracurricular ideas to dance off that second serving of mom's apple pie. GayHotelDiscounts.com for the gay traveler in you.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you donned skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learned figure eights.
Going round and round.
You practiced and practiced, hoping, knowing, someday you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt, and you're still a crowd pleaser. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny, too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is Logan Schwarzengrubenier from the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And my two dads and I are completely buzzing about this week's Bee in My Bonnet. This bee is as hypocritical as soon-to-be Grandpa Cheney. I read online today that Dick Cheney's gay daughter Mary is having a baby. My dandad says he can't wait to see Dick Cheney squirming on Santa's lap this year. Wonder what he'll ask for? Rainbow slippers? But my Carl dad says that Santa will not be visiting Grandpa Cheney. Forget naughty or nice. He doesn't want to get shot. This is Logan Schwartz and Grubenier, and that's the Bee in My Bonnet. Be sure to check us out on the web at spellingbeethemusical.com/Chicago.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Just weeks after Reverend Ted Haggard resigned over a scandal involving a male escort and drugs, now the founding pastor of another Colorado church has resigned over gay sex allegations. Paul Barnes, leader of the 2,100-member Grace Chapel in Inglewood, told his congregation in a videotaped message that he had had sexual relations with other men and was stepping down. Barnes, who has a wife and two children, said that he has, quote, struggled with homosexuality since I was a five-year-old boy. I can't tell you the number of nights I have cried myself to sleep, begging God to take this away, end quote.
Vermont Judicial Bureau Judge Charon True has dismissed hazing charges against four University of Vermont fraternity members accused of making pledges wear cowboy outfits at a party while they were taunted with anti-gay language. Judge True ruled that police hadn't proved the allegations. The witnesses told police the theme of the party was the film Brokeback Mountain.
The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, GLAAD, has asked people to contact Time magazine about a recent article written by guest columnist James Dobson, who many know as the head of the conservative group Focus on the Family. Dobson's column, entitled Two Mommies is One Too Many, contains what the organization contends are many distortions about gays and lesbians. Of course, this is written in response to Mary Cheney's pregnancy. In addition, New York University educational psychologist Dr. Carol Gilligan criticized Dobson for twisting and distorting her research. Now Family Pride has submitted an alternative view, and look for Time to print.
In California, Charlene Guan, an 18-year-old lesbian student, is suing the Orange County School District and her high school principal because of alleged discrimination and is seeking up to $1.3 million in damages. Guan claims she was suspended more than once for hugging and kissing her girlfriend at school and that her principal told her mom that she is gay.
On a recent edition of the entertainment news show Extra, Bette Midler criticized Britney Spears and her actress pal Lindsay Lohan, calling them wild and woolly sluts. Midler, who has a 20-year-old daughter, also quipped that the celebrities need to get a life and get a grip. I mean, someone should sit those ladies down.
Mm-hmm. Many Asian Americans are unhappy with Rosie O'Donnell after she explained comments she recently made on TV's The View. In talking about Danny DeVito's apparent drunken appearance on the show, she said, "The fact is that it's news all over the world. In China, it's like ching chong, Danny DeVito, ching chong, drunk, The View, ching chong." O'Donnell later wrote on her website that it was not my intent to mock. Yeah, whatever, Ro. Come
oh,
on now.
Ro, you're stirring it up.
Terrible.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Thank you, parents. We hope you enjoyed the fifth graders' orchestra recital.
What if wherever you went, you got more than you were expecting?
Hi, Daddy!
Hey, thanks for watching the kids.
Anytime.
How were they?
Good.
No problems?
Nope. Oh, and I taught Noah his multiplication tables, and I've got Wendy reading Shakespeare.
At LaSalle Bank, we think more is precisely what you should expect. More responsiveness, more service, more convenience. In a word, more.
Hey, Billy!
Hi, Mr. Schmidt.
What are you doing in the bushes?
Oh, I was getting your newspaper.
My newspaper?
Yeah, I must have been off balance when I threw it and I totally missed the porch.
Oh.
I just didn't want you to have to go looking for it.
Thanks, Billy.
And with any luck, our philosophy will catch on everywhere. LaSalle Bank, making more possible. LaSalle Bank N.A., member FDIC.
The Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Mamma Mia. Dancing Queen, Take a Chance on Me, and more classic ABBA hits are woven into an enchanting tale of love, laughter, and friendship. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Hi, Neil D. Paris here from NewWorldAstrology.com, Windy City's very own astrologer. Now you can have a personal reading based on your own birth chart. Discover your life path, your gifts and challenges this lifetime, relationship compatibility, career, finance, and more. Practical advice using real astrology. It's unique to you. You'll be amazed what your birth chart reveals. Everyone has a unique life purpose. What's yours? Find out more at NewWorldAstrology.com.
Because a singer goes on singing like a song is her best friend.
Hi, this is Linda Etter, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast.
Here's the rainbow.
Something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Head into the December holidays, many of our traditions are derived from paganism. I mean, the hanging of greens, Christmas trees, none of this has anything to do, well, neither does Santa Claus, really, with anything Christmas or Christ-related. Gay pagan groups also celebrate this time of year with the winter solstice, December 21st. But what exactly are pagans, and what do they believe, and how are gay pagans any different than others? We're so happy to have the Reverend Ellen Wood, who is a member of the Brotherhood of the Phoenix, here with us to answer some of these questions. How are you?
Hello.
I'm well. How are you folks?
I am good. Now, I know that your name within the Brotherhood is Amathian. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So how do you get a name within the Brotherhood?
Generally, the people who are on the clergy path, that means that they provide spiritual guidance for the congregation, take a new name at ordination. And what that allows us to do is to focus in on serving our community in that very specific way. So it's kind of a rite of passage or a marking, similar to Catholic clergy when they take their ordination. Also, nuns take a new name, Sister Mary Paul or what have you. So it allows you to focus your awareness in a very specific spiritual goal.
So let's just start with basics. What is a pagan?
A pagan. Well, the term itself meant land dweller. So they were the rural folks. But how that relates to us today, earth-based traditions. So folks who take the cycle of the seasons as their focal point for awareness, generally who are non-monotheists, who see divinity as god and goddess, or perhaps even many gods and goddesses. Pagan folks have a reverence for ancestors and lineage, and we see a connection between every living being, plants, animals, humans, as continuous. So that humans aren't necessarily more evolved or better than anything else. We're just part of a wonderful web and a continuum of life. And all of it deserves reverence and awe.
Now, were you born into paganism? Was that something you had in your family, or how did you come to the practice of it?
Yes, paganism does run in my family all the way back. We're well documented with scryers and diviners and healers, midwives, those types of folks. And my mother raised me in a very, very liberal, earth-loving nature way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, been doing this since I was born.
So along this path, you came to the Brotherhood of the Phoenix. Can you tell us a little bit about the Brotherhood and about how you found it?
Yes, actually, I founded the Brotherhood with several of my students and friends. We had seen a trend in some of the pagan traditions to not be as welcoming to gay men as they could, with a focus on their theology, more goddess-oriented. Mm. And that certainly is a valid path, but it was not speaking to the experience of men who love men. So what we decided to do...
Isn't that funny? Because that's the exact opposite of probably how women feel in Judeo-Christian environments.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow, absolutely. That's fascinating.
And goddess spirituality is very, very powerful. And I think it has a place for a lot of us as gay men.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need to feel that empowerment of what is our experience? How does the divine speak to us? And so we focused on seeing where divinity made manifest in men who love men, and we came up with 8 archetypal concepts that spoke to those experiences. And we've been going for about 2.5 years strong, and people seem to really enjoy and get a lot spiritually from what we're doing.
What are those 8 archetypes that you're talking about?
The 8 archetypes loosely follow the wheel of the year, which is the cycle of seasons. And so they begin with the divine youth, who's the very rambunctious child, full of awe and wonder. The explorer, who is the young man who kind of leaves his stable home life and his awareness to seek out what he can become and who he is. He then becomes a part of the lover, exploring what that means to connect emotionally, spiritually, physically with another being. From that place, he becomes the healer in the midsummer and takes those wounds that he might have had from love and hurt in the world and seeks to heal them and heal others.
Hmm.
He then, towards the fall, the early fall and late summer, becomes the warrior to defend the tribe against those that would hurt them. From there, the warrior becomes the androgen, that which is male and female, perfect balance. And that happens at the equinox of light and day, equal light and darkness. From there, he's the shaman at Halloween, what we call Halloween, Samhain. And that is the man who can walk between the worlds, who serves the tribe as medicine man, healer, but also as mystic and priest, who can see the way and others can't. And then at the very end of the cycle, Yule, what we now call Quietus, he's the elder, he who responsible for the community, the legacy that he holds, he passes it down and his arts and knowledge to the next generation. And the cycle begins again with the divine youth again in February.
So without just changing the gender from male to female, what makes this faith different for gay men than it would normally?
I think in many of the monotheist traditions, not necessarily all of them, God is currently depicted as judging behaviors, both for gay men and women.
Mm-hmm.
But as we see in political venues, we've come under attack quite a bit. So the pagan faiths and pagan theologies allow an expression of you are divinity as well as everyone else. So to have that empowering experience of a queer God, of a God who loves men, who understands you, is very empowering, and it allows a different perspective of awareness, a healing to occur, to realize that the divine loves you and is you.
Well, and I noticed from your website, which if people want to check out, brotherhoodofthephoenix.org, that you're very involved in activism, and I would assume that kind of starts in that warrior period or that warrior archetype of, you know, what you are passionate about, and being a gay membership, you know, where those focused energies go. So where currently does your activism lie as a group?
Right now, we are seeking educational opportunities to inform people about gay rights, marriage, all of those wonderful things, human rights. Certainly, also environmental issues. Of course, being a pagan tradition, we're very concerned with environment, preserving sacred space, making sure that the land is good for recreation, but certainly can be seen more than that as spiritual in and of itself. So any issues that would go with that, recycling, reducing impact, sustainability, organic agriculture. And of course, you know, our job is to educate. People need to make their own decisions for themselves. We're not going to be a dogmatic voice and tell you what you should do. Everybody is free to choose as they will. But we see our work as getting good research and awareness out there for these issues.
So on the outside, because I think the word pagan sort of instills some fear and some unknowns in a lot of people. And then to sort of add another layer of queer pagan onto that, it also really
it makes people from my Tennessee hills just freak out and shriek and run. I'm sure
it
gay pagans.
it really twists perceptions. But from your point of view, what are some of the big sort of misconceptions that people have about it? Because I think. Smart people want to hear smart things and know smart ideas, but sometimes these keywords really throw them off.
Well, I think, you know, words like witch and magic and paganism are kind of loaded due to kind of the bad yellow generalism, if you will.
Right.
a bad rap. They're just traditions that have existed all the time in various ways. There's no unbroken traditions, but if we think about it, you know, only 3 billion of the people in this world are monotheists.
Mm.
So the rest of us have to be something.
Right.
And that includes, you know, Taoists, Shinto, Amerindian, Voodoo, those types of faith traditions. So for a lot of us in America, yes, it's a very Christian nation. So I think paganism does present a challenge in that it is another worldview. But when folks do realize that it is based in a holistic worldview of trying to bring balance to oneself, to one's community, to the world itself, to the environment, they perhaps see it as a powerful thing, as an empowering thing. And when I'm talking to members of other traditions, I talk about earth stewardship as a key word, that we don't have dominion over the earth. We need to be with it and remind ourselves of the generations that are coming after us. So those are the ways that I communicate our belief structure in a way that makes sense. And like any other belief structure, I'm sure we have our quirky things that seem, you know, strange to outsiders, like, you know, the use of magic and those types of things. But within any context of faith, you get that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and yeah, some people call it miracles, some people call it magic, I guess. So what do you feel like that pagans have a place at the religious table, either in a small community like Chicago or on a national level or even on a global level when religious heads come together? Do you feel like that voice is heard from the pagan community?
More and more. What's exciting is that in academic circles, paganism is starting to be taken very seriously as a religious path. And for years, there was a lot of periphery with New Age movements and some appropriation from other indigenous traditions that happened within neo-paganism. And that created some hard tensions. But being pagan for over 30 years now, I've watched our movement grow and codify itself and take itself more seriously to look at structures of how we can bring something of value to the table, whether that is a discussion of how to incorporate a stewardship of the land and oneself to see the divine is not removed from us, but very much present. I think those are wonderful things that we do bring to the ecumenical table to discuss with our peers.
Now, we introduced you as Reverend Ellen Wood, so there are obviously reverends. What other types of titles? I mean, is people who have, you know, a more Judeo-Christian background, even if they don't practice it now, I mean, you know, understand clergy and priests or minister, lay people. I mean, what are these terms within the pagan faith?
You know, there are as many terms as there are pagan faiths.
Okay.
So within especially in the most popular of the neo-pagan traditions, which is Wicca, they're also called high priest and priestess. So they're terms that are very accessible.
And are there just regular worship services? I mean, the Brotherhood of the Phoenix, do you worship with your membership weekly, or how does that work?
Our membership gets together about every 2 weeks to do class, meditation, lectures, worship, and then we open our services to the public about every 6 weeks, and we have a large ritual. We've applied for 501c nonprofit status with the national government. So hopefully, if that goes through, we'll have some more funding and we can provide even more services and workshops and outreach opportunities to the public, which is definitely what we want to do.
So every 6 weeks, somebody who would be new to the membership could come and observe and be a part
of
a workshop or a meditation?
Yes, absolutely. Everybody is welcome, especially men who love men. We try to do workshops for women and straight folks, too, at least twice a year, so that they understand what we're about and that we don't want you to be insular, but that we do really care about the entire community and not just our own organization.
So there is inclusion of women at some aspects
of events.
That's
very
cool.
And we do like to network with as many like-minded groups as possible so that we unite our forces rather than expend energies.
Now, I know when I was researching, talking to you and found out about you, I'd also been given some numbers of groups that would be called fairy groups. And is there a distinction between the fairy community in the gay community and the pagan community?
That's a really good question. The radical fairies were founded by Harry Hay in the 50s as part of a combination of radical politics and indigenous spirituality. And it has a very free-form, organic, back to nature, but very, very pro-human rights, gay rights approach to it. And fairies are wonderful, very flamboyant. They also take on very interesting names, not necessarily to condone priests with that, but to designate themselves as having adopted that lifestyle. Yes, they are pagan and would be seen as a sect of paganism to a degree. And within the radical fairies, women are also present. I know that there are some straight fairies, but predominantly they're gay men.
Yeah. So they're kind of the glitterati of the pagans.
In some ways. They have also wonderful lands and sanctuaries that they're preserved. They do these festivals many times a year. Probably with the most organized kitchens you've ever seen.
Well, I'm from Tennessee originally, and there's
a
big group of the eggplant fairy players are actually in Tennessee, and I met them at a big artist retreat thing in North Carolina, and it was like the whole commune came, and
Absolutely.
They were definitely boas and very flamboyant energy and fun and amazing artists, actually, too.
Absolutely.
Amazing musicians that were there, but they have that more commune type of often can have more that commune type of living and lifestyle.
And we certainly have dialogue with fairies. There are fairies that come to our events. We go to some of their heart circles. We're just a little bit more mainstream.
Yeah. We got you there.
It's not the radical brotherhood.
Yeah, that's right.
So as the year is drawing to a close, tell us about some of your traditions within your group.
So what we call Yule is what is called quietus. And for us, it's the time of turning within, of fellowship, of quietude. It's time to save one's energy, honor the wisdom that we've received in our life and in the wheel of the year, and embody stillness. So it's a time to go within, listen to dreams, see what motivates you, see what excites you, and where you can manifest those dreams in the new year.
Well, we wish all of those dreams get manifest for you in the upcoming 2007 and hope that we can talk with you again. It's been such a pleasure. This is Reverend Ellen Wood, or a Mathian of the Brotherhood of the Phoenix, and they are located here in Chicago. So if you're in the Chicago area or you want more information, go to brotherhoodofthephoenix.org and check it out. Thanks so much for being on with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And folks, thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And LaSalle Bank. LaSalle Bank, making more possible.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com. So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows at windycityqueercast.com and in iTunes.
And email us for giveaways at wcmgpromo@aol.com.
Folks, we want to tell you that the next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.